Sports Hub headlines.
Bruins are going to be without David Backes tonight and for the next couple of games after that. He was suspended 3 games for his hit on Franz Nielsen of the Red Wings. Going to cost him almost $97,000, too. The NHL said in their review that even though Backes has never been fined or suspended in his 848-game career, this one warranted a three-gamer. So, tonight, it'll be Tommy Wingles skating in his place. Also, Adam McQuaid in, Nick Holden out. Brad Marchand was excused from the morning skate. Tuukka Rask will be in net. Judd Zerot, Bob Beers will bring us the latest with the Dunkin' Donuts Bruins pregame show, 6:30. Zolak and Bertrand live at Star Market Studios at TD Garden. More with them coming up here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Danny Ainge checked in with Tutcher and Rich this morning. Talked a little bit about Al Horford.
Al is not out there trying to fill up a stat sheet. Al's trying to get other guys going and get everybody on the same page. And he's a great leader in our locker room.
And he will lead that team onto the court tonight in Minnesota to play the Timberwolves at 8 o'clock. That game will be heard on 100.7 WZLX, 7:30 pregame, and then the call of the game from Sean Granny and Cedric Maxwell, tipped just after 8 o'clock. Headlines brought to you by South Shore Bank, the bank more people count on for their mortgage, business, and all financial needs. SouthShoreBank.com, member FDIC, member DIF, equal housing lender. I'm Hardy on Boston's Home for Sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub. More headlines in 30 minutes.
Boston's Home for Sports. Boston's Home for Sports is just a command away.
Open your mouth.
Just ask your smart speaker to play. Play 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Oh, I need one of those.
Now, sports talk while you're on the clock. This is Zolak and Bertrand.
I'm going to slap you because you fake it.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
It was a pretty hot and heavy 3 days for the Seahawks, who have known they wanted to try to trade him and actually got a little bit of hotter market than they anticipated. It was the Philadelphia Eagles who did end up with him for a fifth-round pick and Marcus Johnson. They also get a seventh with Bennett. The Atlanta Falcons offered a late-round pick as well, and this deal was supposed to be done yesterday morning. And then, Dan, the New England Patriots came in and tried to make an offer, even though the two sides had basically agreed. But what they did, instead of taking the Patriots' offer, was just hit pause, take a breath, consider all things. The Eagles did a lot of research into the kind of person that Michael Bennett was. In the end, they decided to make the trade and beef up their defensive line.
So, hold on. They had agreed with the Patriots, essentially, verbally, to make this trade?
No, the Eagles had agreed with the Seahawks, essentially, and then the Patriots came in with a big offer, and then all sides had to hit pause.
Gotcha.
And in the end, the Seahawks stuck with the original offer.
I'm glad we played that again. Wait, hit pause? What the hell does that mean, hit pause? Did they consider the offer or not? And why were the Patriots so late if it had been going on for 3 days?
What are you so angry
3
about?
3 days. 3 freaking days they had been doing this discussion. The Seahawks, hot and heavy for 3 days, is what Rappaport said. So it wasn't like it all came together in one afternoon. They've been talking about it for 3 freaking days. And the Patriots came in at the last hour trying to get the deal done?
What is this? This Seattle.
They whiffed.
This Seattle.
The Patriots whiffed.
This Seattle, all across the board, transitional sell mode with their high-priced veterans, this has been known for a while. This was talked about the minute they were eliminated from the playoffs. Or didn't get in. See, what did he mean there that they hit pause and wanted to go back and reevaluate?
Everyone had to pause and take a breath? What does that mean?
Study what type of person Michael Bennett is?
No, he said the Eagles did a lot of research on what type of person Michael Bennett is because there have been reports, as there was one yesterday, that Michael Bennett was reportedly, quote, a pain in the A for the Seahawks last season. That he was a problem with his coaches.
I can't believe that.
Bert Breer reported it, said that 3 offensive coaches described the defensive end as not being the player he once was, who picked his spots more than he had in the past. He had started to mail it in a little bit. Didn't like the situation. Wasn't getting along with coaches. Philly wanted to do a lot of research on that particular topic before they committed to bringing in Michael Bennett. 2 other teams interested, the Falcons and the Patriots. Falcons called with a late-round pick, according to Rappaport, and the Patriots offered a third-rounder. A third-rounder. And they didn't get him because they called too late. Now listen, Michael Bennett, not missing out on Michael Bennett's not the end of the world. okay? There will be other guys that they could try and pull off a trade for this offseason. There might be guys that hit the market that they could try and get in here.
See, something's fishy.
But they targeted Michael Bennett as the guy they wanted, and then they didn't get him simply because they called too late.
Well, you played against
him
enough.
That, to me, I find inexcusable.
You had a difficult time blocking him enough. So you knew, you know what he can do. You've got the relationship with Pete. But if both teams are hitting pause there and you're reevaluating and you're studying, and you know, the reports of, you know, starting to mill it in, he's not the same player. Something's fishy with him. I don't know what it
what?
Is.
What? Well, you keep saying that. You keep saying something's wrong.
I don't know.
What's fishy with him?
You know what comes up in my mind? The Vegas stuff.
What do I care about the Vegas
I'm
stuff?
I'm just saying, like, what? Like this. I don't know. He and his brother are very outspoken.
So? Can you get to the quarterback? Can you catch passes? What do I care about the
That's
other stuff?
That's why I asked you. What are you studying? What type of person he is? Flip on the film. Is he good enough to play on your football team or not?
Well, they thought so because they offered a third-round pick.
Well,
and they
got
they didn't
him.
Get him.
Well, the other team did. Philly thinks he's good enough, and they're replacing a pretty damn good player to begin with. So that front four is going to be pretty damn good again. Problematic for Dallas, problematic for the Giants and the Redskins.
You know, and then there is that extra thing of the team that just beat the Patriots in the Super Bowl is the team that got them. Shouldn't that make you angry? Does that make it makes me angry. Like, wait, what? They had a worse offer, but because they called first and they had already agreed to the deal, and the Patriots were hanging out for 3 days, not doing it?
What? Know, can we buzz Greg Bedard here? Because Bedard just wrote something calling Rap Sheet's info into question, saying that the Pats were not interested.
Here's what Greg Bedard wrote. The New England Patriots tried to make an offer. Oh, he's quoting. Hold on. I'll get in here. Hold on. I've got to log in.
I'm trying to
log in. Damn. Hold on.
You know what? This is getting like the Globe.
Hold on.
5 articles per month.
You don't get free articles.
I know.
On
I don't.
Site.
No, I don't.
Oh, just damn it. My password was
just
wrong.
Call the damn guy.
Hold on. My password
Paul,
was
Tom.
Wrong. Hold on. Let me see if I can get in. All right. I'm in. Okay. He writes, I was told the report was not accurate. The Patriots did not come in late with a big offer on Bennett. He says, okay, all right, here we go. Reached out to a Seahawks source to see if this was true, checking in on the Rappaport report.
Yeah, to get the other side of it.
I was told the report was not accurate. The Patriots did not come in late with a big offer on Bennett. I'm not saying Rappaport is wrong.
Yeah, you are.
Obviously, he heard from someone and didn't just invent it. But there could be another explanation, like the Eagles wanting to make their deal sound better, or perhaps Seattle leaked that another team was involved to close the deal, but that really wasn't the case. So he got this from the Seahawks side.
Right.
Okay. I'm sorry, but do you know why I would not believe a Seahawks source on this?
Why?
Because they turned down a better deal, ultimately. That would make them look bad. You don't admit that you turned down a better deal. To keep your word, your fans are going to say, what the hell? We don't care about you, about that.
It's a Garoppolo point.
Why didn't you take the third round pick?
It's a Garoppolo point.
Yes.
What are you doing him for?
The same way the Patriots will deny that the Browns are ready to offer them a better pick.
Boy.
It's the same thing.
Should have taken those 2 1s.
Of course Seattle's going to say they had no offer from the Patriots. That's why I'm glad he reveals that it's a Seahawks source.
You know what?
It's not a Patriots source.
Kind of keeps their and them not airing out any laundry regarding New England keeps the phone lines open for something potentially down the road for another trade between the two teams. You know? Sherman. Who knows?
I'm not saying, and I love Greg. You know I love Greg. I'm not saying Rappaport's wrong, but there could be, like, I'm not saying he's wrong. I'm just saying his sources suck, and they lied to him.
I love when one guy
That's
says something, the other guy says, well, no,
crap.
He didn't technically say
yeah,
it.
Yeah, come on. Beat is writer. The report wrong or not? Paulie's in the truck. Paulie, what do you got on this?
Yeah, it's absolutely wrong. We offered them a three. I think Philadelphia in the front, and Philadelphia offered about the same as we did.
Where'd you see this? Dedham Gazette?
What do you mean? They offered a fifth and a receiver. That's what the trade was.
They wanted a fifth. The Philadelphia only wanted a seventh. And it was the 2 rounds that made all the difference in the world.
I have no idea what you're talking about, Paulie.
Yeah,
there's a fifth and a receiver.
We offered the three, but we wanted a five in return. Philly wanted about the same. Philly wanted a seven in the player in return. They offered about the same. I think they offered a three too. They just beat us up. Period. End of story. They offered a better deal. That's number one. Number two.
Wait a minute. No, they didn't. Though. Would you rather get a fifth or a third in the deal? Even if you had to give up a fifth,
I'd take a three.
You take the three.
Yeah.
A third round pick is a much better pick.
You know what? Hey, hold on. Don't give me that. Here's $5. I'm gonna bend over. Kick me in the nuts. That's what that is. Yeah, I don't want any value. Hey, here, Garoppolo, go.
I get that. You'd have to give up your own fifth. Would you give up your own fifth to get a third? Or would you just want to add a fifth? Call me crazy. I'd rather give up my own fifth to turn it into a third. I wouldn't be looking to maximize the, ooh, I can keep my third and get a fifth.
It's so
Belichick. Screw that. Get
so
an extra
Belichick-y
third.
Too, to get an extra third. Offering a lower pick. That's good value.
No, he wanted an extra fifth. That's Bill's way of doing things. Get the extra fifth round pick. Anybody in their right mind wants an extra third.
What was bad about
an extra fifth?
Was he a fifth or sixth?
I don't know. Where was Eric Rowe drafted when he came into the NFL?
If Sherman comes here, do you think he's going to be able to get number 25? I thought about that on the way home.
Yes. I think he'll be able to secure it one way or another.
He's at the craps table today, so.
Dana is in East Boston. Dana?
Yeah, you know the deal, guys. Why would Seattle want to trade him to a competitor, a contender, like similar to Garoppolo? They wanted to trade Garoppolo to the NFC. You would think that Seattle, if they have to trade him to Philadelphia, great, but they don't want to trade him there, do they?
No, I wouldn't trade him to a top five NFC team. Unless you know he's damaged goods. Unless you know he's on the back end. And you don't want to deal with it. It's not worth the headache for you anymore. Maybe the motor's gone. Maybe he's breaking down. I don't know that. According to some reports, that's what some coaches are saying. Happens to everybody. Happened to Alan Branch. He got the money. I'm done. Done. Martellus Bennett gets cut. That saves $6 million. They're doing something here to go after somebody. Or they're probably trying to secure their own players up. That's one of two things here, guys. 6 days away from free agency. 6 days away. I don't think they're jumping into the Gilmore market like they did last year to set the price for any position. I do not foresee that happening. But who the hell knows?
617-779-0985 is the telephone number. You want to jump on board? We get open phones. We'll talk to you next.
Broadcasting live from the Star Market Broadcast Studio, it's Solak and Bertrand. Bruins game day on your home of the Bees. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
617-779-0985 is the phone number for you. I told you earlier that Sherman and Aqib Talib.
Yep.
Could very much be on the move here in the coming days. Sherman has reportedly told his teammates, and they've tweeted about it, that he's gone. He's not going to be with the Seahawks going forward. You know, they might be trying to work out a trade, but more likely situation for him is going to get cut. The same way Aqib Talib is going
to
get cut.
Well, you'll love to hear in the next couple days that he's seen or someone grabs a picture of him at Logan Airport carrying his bag, coming in for a physical. Just take a look at the legs.
Who?
To Sherman.
Well, he hasn't been cut yet.
I know he's not cut. I'm saying in a couple days if he gets cut. First thing you do, get on the plane, go to New England.
Who do you think they want first?
I think they want to leave first.
Yeah, I think they're right on this, if that's true.
I think they're different players. I think they're different players. Richard will play the ball better at its height. Aqib's more of a hands-on defender, more of like Ty Law. You know, he's aggressive at the hip level. He likes to hip check, likes to, push the arm out, and then he'll go run stuff down, and he'll give you the false sense that, okay, there's a gap there where I can put the ball, and he'll go get it. Sherman's more cerebral, I think, in your, smoother, in your hip, and at the last second he goes up, and he's got a nice stretch about him. He's lanky, thinner player. I like the way Talib's built better, meaning it's just he's heavier, he's physical. Sherman's more of a finesse corner. He can play. They're different types of corners. Very effective. These two guys are great. But to do what you want to do here, with Hightower back in the middle, with Butler gone, and now you look at Gilmore. Gilmore does more of the Sherman type stuff. You know, he'll run with you and at the last second get that offhand in to knock it down because of his length. It's not physical. Butler was your more physical guy. You need a bitch on the other side. Sorry to term it that way.
What?
You need a bitch. You need somebody that's going to go nuts on the other side. It's going to get angry. It's going to snap every once in a while at the guy he's playing with. I like the swagger he plays with. I do. I appreciate it. I respect it because I think he can hone it. But I think they let him go a little out there. See, I don't think he'll do the stuff he does with the Raiders when he's here in this uniform. The Bill wouldn't allow it.
How do you know?
I just know. Because I think you have that discussion when you get here. I don't know if they ever had that discussion with him. I think that thing festered in itself. Him and Chris Harris together and DJ Ward. And we're going to knock you out. And Vaughn Miller. That thing just escalated to another level.
Didn't he shoot himself in the leg in like the park at midnight?
Who knows if it is even him? I don't know where I got shot. That was in Texas, Beetle. That was down in Texas when he was home.
Yeah, that's my point. Like, how do you know that that's not going to happen because he wears a Patriots uniform?
It didn't happen here when he was here.
He wasn't here that long.
I know, but I still think you give him credit for the tenure that he was here and know that there was no incidents here. Zero.
Yeah, that could have just been.
He's the only guy I've seen this head coach in 6 years at away games wait going into pregame warmers to go out of his way to talk to. He doesn't talk to anybody. He goes over, talks to Ernie Adams in the end zone, then he goes and folds his arms, and then he walks in with his team. He sought out Aqib Talib, and they talked for like 4 minutes. I'm like, what the? Tapsosi, what the hell is going on? Look at this. He likes that guy. That there tells me they'd rather have that player.
617-779-0985. Richard Sherman, on the other hand, is a guy who's younger by 2 years.
Yeah,
and has had surgery on both Achilles, left and right, both of them, recently. This was something the Patriots had entertained a year ago. They had called the Seahawks last offseason about Richard Sherman.
Yep.
And
when he was healthy.
Back in April of last year, when some of those rumors were flying, Mike Giardi, Comcast Sportsnet at the time, now NBC Sports Boston, actually caught up with Stephon Gilmore at a Celtics game and got his thoughts on the idea of playing with Sherman. I think that's relevant once again. Let's play that.
Obviously, there have been a lot of rumblings about Richard Sherman.
Yeah.
What do you know about him? What kind of addition would he be if it ever ended up coming to pass?
I know Richard Sherman. I talked to him at the Pro Bowl. He's a great player, great person. Anytime you can have somebody like that on your team, it'd be a great thing. But you never know in this NFL, anything can happen. So, but if he did, the skies would be the limit.
Yeah, I'm sure a lot of people looked at you on the other side with Buffalo and figured, we'll never see Gilmore in New England as a Patriot.
Yeah, you just never know in free agency. You know, I didn't think I was going to be here, but, you know, it happened. So, I'm happy to be here.
Gilmore's on board.
Anything in the NFL can happen. You can wake up one day and New England's on the phone and they say at 9 a.m., we're going to make you the highest paid corner. They want a free agency. Yeah, that's the most he's ever talked. And then he kind of got quiet after that. That was in the early stages when he first got here. He was going to games.
Was that the honeymoon phase?
Yeah. Yeah, fresh. Very talkative there. Remember, just communicating. He's going to be communicating. I'm going to be communicating. Communication's the issue. He's got to communicate better. Can we add another layer to this, too?
What?
So one of these guys is coming here to play to replace Butler, right?
Right.
Not to replace Rowe. Can we stop with the we have Eric Rowe? Can we limit that talk, okay?
What talk
it was
is
Gilmore
that?
And Butler. Because I hear that from people. Well, you know, ooh. Rowe played well in the Super Bowl after he got beat by Alshon Jeffrey. And he got on after that. And he actually contended and defended some passes very well.
Yep.
Okay. Well, I don't want to walk in day one with him as your other opposite starting corner, opposite Gilmore. So, and I'm sitting here, and I'm scrolling through, and I'm looking at the NFL stuff, and I see Matt Patricia. I said, wow, he looks good. Clean himself up. See pictures of him at the combine. He looks happy. He's into it. And then I pull up the Detroit Lions roster. I'm going down looking at this corner, that corner. Never heard that guy's name. Never heard this guy's name. He's got about 5 or 6 corners on his roster. A lot of Jags. Just another guy's there. What would it say if by the time free agency starts, the Detroit Lions are one of the top three teams in on Malcolm Butler? What would that tell you? What would that tell you about the Super Bowl?
Bill was wrong?
That it wasn't a coaching decision.
Don't I know that already?
Yeah. Well, just wouldn't that be another kick in the you-know-whats off the loss?
Yeah,
just going back to make you think.
It would make Matt Patricia's comments about packages after the game look even dumber.
Right.
Packages.
Right.
Packages. Give me a break.
It's almost like, shoot, I'm the head coach now. I can't be interested in this guy because I just tried to sell it to the public that was a defense. One of my rocket scientific defensive packages.
Your first question to Matt Patricia is, hey, coach, yeah, you guys brought in Malcolm Butler. So you paid him a bunch of money, yet you didn't think he was good enough to be in the packages for the Super Bowl?
Yeah.
What?
See, my first question would be, coach, when you were the defense coordinator in New England, and Malcolm in the first year played 97.3% of the snaps, 96.9% of the snaps, and 98.3% of the snaps, and started 17 games, what point during that 2 weeks, especially after the Jacksonville Jaguar game, when you won the AFC Championship game, oh, by the way, that he played the whole game and it started, did you lose your mind and not decide not to play him at all in the Super Bowl against a backup quarterback? That's all. Just see how he answers.
Well, how does it look? It looks terrible for Bill Belichick and also Matt Patricia.
It's almost like New England, because I heard this too, and I thought, yeah.
Looks bad for all of them.
Wouldn't it be crazy if they tagged Butler here and now they're messing with him just to hold the value down? They're going to trade and try and get something for him. I think, no, that day passed. They didn't tag him. It's almost now like New England can't be interested in Butler, and Detroit, you can't be interested in Butler either, because your head coach now thought he was not worth one defensive package that he rolled out there against a team that never punted.
Punt.
Seeing if he's still there. Yeah. What's up, Hardy?
I'm always here.
See what I'm saying?
Yeah. No, I got you.
It'd be really odd if Matt Patricia was.
It wouldn't be odd. What do you mean? What's odd about it? It would just explain that he wanted Butler in the game and Belichick didn't. What's odd about it? You know what's odd is not playing Butler in the Super Bowl. That's what's odd.
In a weird way, I want him to go get him.
Nothing odd about it. Malcolm Butler's a good player. I think we all know that.
I agree.
Did he have a great year? No, he did not.
Yeah, I'm just trying to show you how stupid the decision is, okay? I'm not, and I always get this kickback too. You keep trashing Butler, trying to, I'm not trying to muddy him on the way out. If you listen to this show and the way I talk about this guy in context, he's one of the most respected players on that team that I respect.
You've got a lot of straw men this segment. Eric Rowe straw men, Malcolm Butler straw men.
Like, what if I talk negatively about Butler? You've done a show with me a long time. I thought he was one of your postseason needs last year to lock up. I said, sign that sucker to 12.
No, you just refused to believe that it was a coaching decision like the 10 days after the Super Bowl.
It can't be.
Had to have been something bad he did. I think that's what made people upset with your Malcolm Butler commentary.
I guess.
That's what I think it was.
And I didn't hear it.
Because you refused to accept that it was just a decision that was made in a bad
way. Because it's so stupid. When something's that outside the box, that's stupid. You got to think, boy, something really dire happened. Nobody ever told me anything happened. And that's been refuted. No player saying it. Talked to a bunch of people. Not a damn thing happened. So that's a coaching decision. That's scary.
617-779-0985. We'll get back to your calls after this.
Against a team that never punted.
Sports Hub Headlines.
No David Backes tonight for the Bruins, and he better get used to that for a few games because he was suspended 3 games for his hit on the Red Wings' Franz Nielsen. The Department of Player Safety said, yeah, he's never had a fine or a suspension in 848 games, but this one, 3 games, will also cost Backes almost $97,000. So tonight the team will take on the Flyers without Backes. Going to have Tommy Wingles skating in his place. No Charlie McAvoy, who's out for a few more weeks. No Patrice Bergeron. Adam McQuaid is in tonight. Nick Holden is out. Brad Marchand did not participate in the morning skate. And Tuukka Rask is going to be in net for the Bruins tonight. Judd Surratt, Bob Beers on the call. Puck drops just after 7 o'clock on the New England Honda Dealers, 98.5 The Sports Hub. Bruins Radio Network. Also in action tonight, the Celtics visit the Timberwolves at 8 o'clock. Sean Grandy and Cedric Maxwell will have that call coming up on 100.7 WZLX just after 8 o'clock. Alex Cora said at Red Sox spring training today that Eduardo Nunez will get the start at second base opening day for the Sox. Headlines are brought to you by Hooters and Saugus, Shrewsbury, Dedham, and West Springfield. When the game is on, the food is hot, and the beer is cold, Hooters makes you happy. I'm Hardy on Boston's home for sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub. More headlines in 30 minutes.
From the center of the hockey universe, it's Zolak and Bertrand. This is Bruins Game Day. Live from the Star Market Broadcast Studio on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Get some of your calls, 617-779-0985. Albert in Rhode Island. Hi, Albert.
How's it going, guys?
Yeah, it's okay.
Good. How you doing, Albert?
Very good. Zoe, what's up? I waited a long time to make this call. I really wanted to let it settle. And what really has made me laugh from the backlash of the Super Bowl, the fans that are spitting in the face of Belichick, and the amount of time it's going on and how just it's like venom. The balls and the brass in which this guy has made his decisions since day one, Lawyer Malloy, Richard Seymour, I could go on and on, we know the stories. This guy has made these types of decisions and has given you little to no justification or reasoning, which I know drives everyone crazy that you have to know everything these days, and he gives you nothing. But I can't tell you how many cookouts I've been at. Oh, you know, Belichick, you screw off, he'll just let you go. Wow, you know, Belichick, he doesn't care. But because you lost 8 Super Bowls you've gone to. He's won you 5. You lose a game, and now you want to spit in the guy's face, and you want to question his decision making. Why is he doing it? Does he have the best team at hand? The best team's interest at hand. Blah blah blah. Is he trying to school Brady? I mean, just the most nonsensical things. But again, this guy has made these types of his whole career, and he usually comes out on the right side. What do you think? He didn't want to win the game? I mean, do you honestly believe that?
No, not Huss.
I don't know who does.
No, but Albert, do you think it was a good call? You don't think it was a good call, do you?
I mean, strategically on the field, no, obviously not. But I know Zoe has it all but hands on in there. I know no one said anything to you, which is still surprising. Nothing has come out. I personally believe something happened. Maybe it was something small. Maybe it was a culmination of all the really small things that have happened with him.
Why dress him?
I think Bill, because I think Bill can be an ass, and I think in a way he may have wanted to stick it to him a little bit.
I think he wanted to embarrass him.
Okay, so again, he wanted to embarrass him, which I don't think is right. But again, maybe he feels like Malcolm tried to undercut him in some ways. That whole contract thing. I mean, that's never a good road to go down with the Patriots. Something happened there, and we don't know. So we're left to speculate, but something went wrong.
Right.
All right, but to your first point, Albert, and thank you for the call. This has been the easiest to draw a line between decision and outcome. It's been the easiest example.
4th and 2.
In Bill Belichick's time is but that was not the Super Bowl.
It's a single game.
That was a regular season game.
Right.
I'm also talking about coaching decisions with players, the roster. He mentioned all the other stuff, Lawyer Malloy. He mentioned Richard Seymour. Okay, they cut Lawyer Malloy. They won the Super Bowl, right? So that is out the window. And then it's fun. It's woo! Yay! Oh, yeah, he's arrogant. He'll cut a guy, and he'll still win the damn Super Bowl. It's fun because you win,
right?
Winning cures all. Richard Seymour, it's really hard for you to make a case. That was 2009, start of the 2009 season that he was traded to Oakland. You know, what would the 2009 season have been with him? Well, that's kind of a hard thing to do. All right, 16 regular season games plus playoffs. It's hard to easily draw the line that because you traded a guy, you didn't end up being where you wanted to be. Yeah, it's kind of a hard thing. This one, guy plays 99% all year, and then you get to the biggest game of the season and he doesn't play at all? That's an easy line to draw.
That's to
question and say, what the hell are you doing?
As a cocky response to say, I as the head coach, am going to walk onto this field with 52 players.
And that is my long way of explaining why is it being questioned now as opposed to other moves not being questioned. There's your answer. Because it's easy to draw a line. It's cut and dry.
God, I think I'll always question it. All right, we'll never get over it. We won't.
David's in Hanover. Hey, David.
Hey. Hello, guys.
Hi.
First time caller, long time listener. Thank you. A couple of theories on Butlergate. In particular, do you guys think, or does anybody out there think, this goes beyond a coach's brain fart? Could this go up to the top level of the NFL, trying to ensure somehow trickle down that Butler was not going to play, so the Patriots would not win that Super Bowl?
What? Huh? I don't even understand the question.
Who's making the call? Who's the puppet master here?
The league.
Goodell, the league.
The league. The league made the call?
Yeah, well, Goodell.
Yeah, I think they would love nothing better to stick it to
it the was Goodell. What did the, Goodell what, made the call.
What did the
Goodell,
owner,
that's a new one.
Yeah.
Goodell benched made the Butler.
Call. Hey, wouldn't you bench Brady if you really want to make sure they don't win the Super Bowl? Don't you put Hoyer in the game? So the owner takes the stage to accept a Super Bowl trophy in Super Bowl 51 down in Houston and said, this is unequivocally the sweetest one ever, and you know why. So now all of a sudden, Goodell's going to say lose the Super Bowl. That is, we can't even take calls like that. Who the hell's screening calls? Is that Tom? Down there, smack him. Be better.
That's not me.
Callers.
It's not Tom, but I'm not saying who it was. And I think the
is you Hardy
freeze pops.
Yeah. I was.
Is that my man Mose? Is he back?
It could be Mose. Depending on who you think Mose is. Who do you think Mose is?
Popsicle.
No, not Mose.
B Rob.
Nope.
Nah, never mind.
Who is it?
Not saying.
That Mason. Kid with the big forehead?
Yeah. He's got a big forehead?
Mason? Oh, yeah.
He's a big, guy. He's tall.
I don't think he's got big eyebrows.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
I don't think he's got a big forehead. I think you're making that up.
Who is it, Hardy?
Perfectly nice guy. Mason Sousa.
Stop playing these games. Speak, call screener.
I don't know. I wasn't back there. I don't know.
Oh, okay.
I don't know who's screening calls. Could have been Tom. Could have been Mason. Could have been Billy. Billy's popping around here.
Dan in Rhode Island. Dan?
Hey, what's going on, boys?
Hey, Dan.
Hey, so the only thing that makes sense, the only thing that I've read that makes sense is there was an article in U.S. Today, Stephen Ruiz, that compared this Super Bowl to the one that Bill won as the defensive coordinator, in which case Thurman Thomas was going to run all over them, and they decided to put in big defensive backs to stop the run game and let Jim Kelly throw over the top. And in a way it worked, because the Patriots had the ball with 2 minutes, 30 seconds left to go, Tom Brady with the ball. And honestly, when I saw that, I thought we were going to win the game. It came down to one fluke play, and, you know, it still grinds my gears that Plaxico Burress caught the touchdown to end our perfect season. I'm a little bit over this Super Bowl because at this point we've won five. Like, I can let one go because of a coaching decision that may or may not have, you know, won the game.
I mean, those two you lost to the Giants, they smacked you in the mouth. Those were good, physical, tough Giant teams. This team is new. You know, they're young. It's Doug Peterson with the visor, coaching visor. You know, you got beat by a newbie here. You know, that was Tom Coughlin. Those were guys. He had a legendary staff. He had guys who were in the football coaching jobs for over 20 years at every position.
Absolutely.
Now all of a sudden you got beat by Eugene Chung and company. I mean,
it's the only story that allows for him playing on special teams and not playing the rest of the game. So taking aside any behavioral issues, any contract issues, if it was purely a football decision, it's the only storyline that makes sense across the board.
You understand, this is the man that wore 21. He's the guy that covered Antonio Brown, the best receiver in the league. He got that assignment. He made those tackles. He's the one who forced Pittsburgh into that ridiculous timeout. I didn't know what the hell to do. Clock it, what do we do? Let's not forget some of the plays this kid made. Don't forget who he was matched up against in Atlanta. Don't forget who he was matched up against every time you face Miami. Or Carolina, who scorched your ass with four guys that could run at 6'4" and a running back that could do anything he wants. Hey, Malcolm covered some guys, and all of a sudden he's not good enough to cover in a Super Bowl against that crew.
Hey, Tyler in Nashua, what do you got for us today?
You guys hear about the Brandon Cook trades? What do you guys think of if we trade him, maybe going after Allen Robinson? I'll hang up and listen. Thank you.
Okay.
So is that, you mean involving both guys in the deal? He hung up.
No, he said, first
question
was. Is Allen
Robinson a free agent, or is he not a free agent? Is he?
I thought he's getting cut.
Oh, maybe he is.
Cut from Jackson.
I haven't
right?
heard much about Allen Robinson.
I've been thinking more about Cooks here. I just don't think he is a one or a two. I think he's an outside three on your team. I've seen enough of Brandon Cooks to know if there's a taker and you know, boy, in a pinch, he's the guy that we want to throw the slant or the dig or the curl route to. He's not that guy. He's a down-the-field runner, and you got to set stuff up for him. You got to max protect. You got to go in. You got to go over the top. There's too many things, I think, that need to happen in a perfect world for Brandon Cooks to look really, really good. There are times he explodes, and you're thinking, okay, this is the guy we saw in camp. Now, it's different when you're in shorts and shells down there in helmets in camp, and he's flying by guys and running post routes left and right. Then you catch a ball. See, to understand the passing game, and when you talk about a guy like Rob Gronkowski, how football smart he is. When Brady talks about him understanding, I don't want him at the top of the numbers. I want him 6 inches from the top of the numbers because then I want to have the ability to bend him into the other side. When we're 3rd and 8, you better get your ass up to 11 yards to come back to make sure that when I stick it on you, I know you're working up an extra 2 yards. Cooks to me is a guy, 3rd and 8, he's running 8 yards. He's running exactly the way it tells you how you draw it up on paper. When Brandon Cooks is sitting there and he's got his playbook and he works hard and he studies, okay, I see the arrow. It's up 8 yards back. I'm going to do that exactly.
Robinson's a free agent, by the way.
Okay, so they didn't tag him.
Nope.
All right.
Sit in the market.
He's a big guy. You remember that last 4th down of the Super Bowl and you go back and, again, I told you, watch
coming
it again
off an
last
ACL,
week.
Though.
They're breaking the huddle. A team breaks the huddle, Brady calls the play, grabs Danny Amendola and tells him, I'm coming to you. I don't think he's ever breaking a huddle, grabbing Brandon Cooks and saying, I'm coming to you.
I got one final call. We'll get in here. Jack in Hanover. Hi, Jack.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hey, good. Jack.
I'm curious as to why you're still talking about the Patriots. It's been almost 2 months now. It's time to stop whining and talk about hockey and basketball.
Well, the league year starts in less than a week. The Patriots are involved in a bunch of trade rumors. They're the number one team in the market, and we spent half the show talking about the Bruins today. Does that cover all our bases, though?
They could trade for Jadeveon Clowney this time next week, and it will be 4 hours every day for probably the next 2 months on Jadeveon Clowney and how they're rebuilding the defense.
I would say if you don't like the Patriots, I'd move somewhere, somewhere else, different state. That's what I would do.
You know what I tell Bon Jovi when he tells me, hey, you like the new acoustical stuff and I'm working on some other things? What do I tell him? Play the hits.
We were more Bruins than anything else today.
Yep, we did a lot of Bruins today. Did some good Bruins. Had Jaffe in. Felger and Maz, they did 7 hours of football in the last 2 days. It's a pretty important time.
League year starts next week.
Dumb call.
Trade rumors happening. Patriots almost pulled off a trade yesterday. Guys getting cut. Tampering will begin. NFL offseason in full swing. Today's takeaways are next.
They give.
Give it to me. Give it to me now, damn it.
Tell me I'm wrong. I don't know how you could.
And they give.
We need to break news every day.
And they give.
I love breaking news.
Can't get this kind of analysis just anywhere.
And now, it's time to take.
That's not a hot take.
End of the day.
Hot takes from the day.
Today's takeaways with Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right, time for today's takeaways here on a Thursday from the Star Market Broadcast Studio. Brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Don't forget, take away your excess weight loss for life. Check it all out at awaken180weightloss.com.
Okay. All right, let's get to it. So this is a minute of the show today that we missed because of our connection between the Garden and our home base. Ooh, back in Brighton.
Yeah, this is a good minute today.
And it cut out, but we never heard it because we thought we were still on the air.
On air.
Zoe had a great breakdown that he could not replicate for the record. He just couldn't do it again. It was a magical breakdown of the Bergeron and McAvoy injuries, but couldn't quite do it over again once we realized we had not been on the air. But here was what Hardy did for the minute.
So, as we wait to get Zolak and Bertrand back live from the TD Garden, I'm going to sit here and keep talking about whatever it is that I want to talk about. It is a free-form Thursday, 11 o'clock hour here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. I mean, I was very happy with the conversation that was going on, but I'm also still too upset about David Backus to really let that one go. So, if you feel like you want to hop on and talk about that or anything else that Zolak and Bertrand were discussing, now would be the time. 617-779-0985. I wonder if Billy Jaffe is still going to join them live at the Star Market Studios there at the TD Garden. Because if they're down, I would think Jaffe would come in here. And Jaffe and I can just do a couple hours of hockey talk. And we can get into some really nasty back and forth stuff about certain institutions of higher learning that he and I both attended. Not that anybody else would want to hear that, but we could certainly talk about that for hours. You know, back to the Bruins here for a moment. I know that Zoe and Beetle were on to other topics, but again, we get to go freeform here for a sec. Oh, I don't get to go freeform. They're back. Damn it!
Yeah. So well, here's the thing.
Oh my god!
So you guys thought you were still
the worst
on?
Spot to be thrown into.
You guys thought you were, and I and
rambling on.
Full disclosure:
we had zero idea, and then all of a sudden, we heard in our headset, we heard you saying, well, maybe Billy and I could do the hour of Hardy. And we're like, what? What's wrong with Hardy? Why is Hardy? What? Hello? What? And then we realized.
Probably the only time in the history of the station that one glorious day during the summer when the traffic was so horrific. Remember when Felger and Maz?
Yes.
The Ace Ticket studio did not work. And they took them forever to get back, and Hardy went off. And it was great and glorious. And
because I was in one of the back rooms and Jimmy Stewart was here producing, didn't know that I was still here. So he had, you know, played a couple of commercials early. So when I finally did go on, I think I probably did about 35 minutes straight with no break.
Yeah, I remember you talked a lot about that race that was going to happen in South Boston.
Talked a little bit about the open wheel race in South Boston. And you know what? Yeah. I was opposed to it, and I was ahead of the curve on that one.
Sure were.
Yeah, thank you. That ended up being a good take, so go screw, Beetle. Kick rocks.
Wait, I wasn't criticizing you.
A little bit you were.
Okay. Back at it tomorrow at 10. Felger and Maz coming up from the Garden next.
Nice. Just have to cover it up and get down. But